communism it was in, disproportionate to what their real threat to us was. And before the revolution, by the way, the property classes always feared labor.
And so what has replaced that now, this term national security that justifies the mass surveillance of Americans and people all over the world? This is under President Obama.
Absolutely. Well, this is an old issue, too. Historically, terrorists, you know, Harry Truman in 1947, the Truman Doctrine, he declared boldly on the floor of Congress that we had to invest $400 million in Greece and Turkey to defeat outside forces. He included terrorists and communists as destabilizing Greece. These are the people, by the way, who fought for the independence of Greece against the Nazis. They became terrorists right away. So the word terrorist has been used very loosely to describe whatever enemy. If you read George Orwell, 1984, the government exists, it's justified because of terrorists. There are always terrorists in the woodwork. Yes, there are terrorists in the war. They are vile. We should track them down ad hoc, selectively, specifically. Glenn Greenwald has been very articulate about this. You know somebody or has connections to terrorism, I think most people would back that. But when you put the whole thing out over the web and you say everybody in the world is our potentially suspect, you're making a different kind of world. You're making that horrible world that George Bush described when he said you're either with us or you're against us. I don't want to live in that world.
But either way, you're being surveilled.
Either way, yeah. You have to prove you're innocent, so to speak.
So
I worry about my children about that, and I worry about the future, because Obama, as Peter said, is an intelligent manager. I don't believe he's an unreasonable man. I don't even think he knows exactly what's going on. But I do fear a situation where if we have another terrorist attack, what's going to happen? And then what if we have another Bush as a president or a right-winger? You know, the technology in place—
Would it be very different? As Ari Fleischman said, the spokesperson for President Bush, that President Obama, as Ari Fleischer says, the former spokesperson for President George W. Bush— President Obama is a continuation of what President Bush was doing.
Obama doesn't have—you know, when I said about vision earlier, about Roosevelt and Kennedy and Wallace, these are bigger men. I mean, I don't think Obama was given a mandate in 2008. He could have done something. He could have been a Roosevelt. People were comparing him to Roosevelt at that time. He didn't run with it. He hired—as Peter said, he put Clinton in, and he put Gates in, the economic team from Rubin. I don't get it. Why didn't he take his moment? Now he blew it. And by doing that, because so many people campaigned for him, and he disbanded that organization. That was a grassroots organization. He disbanded it. He took the hope away from those people who believed that democracy was still possible. You call the show Democracy Now? I was thinking about that should be a question mark. You know, you have an exclamation point.
Would you consider making a film about Edward Snowden?
I think it'd be a terrific subject, frankly. I don't know that I can handle it because there's so much incoming news. I think Snowden's been very smart, and he's done the best he can under most difficult circumstances.
Well, Oliver Stone, I want to thank you very much for being with us. We're going to continue this conversation after the broadcast, and we'll post it at democracynow.org. This month is the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King. Oliver Stone and Peter Kuznick John F. Kennedy.
Another one.
That's right. 50th anniversary of the March
on
Washington.
Robert Kennedy was killed a few months later.
The Untold History of the United States is Oliver Stone and Peter Kuznick's collaboration, both the book and the multi-part Showtime series now available on DVD. That does it for the broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Berger, Nate Feltzer, Martin Yermichik, Steve Martinez, Sam Akoff, Hani Masood, Robbie Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Sunday, November 3rd. The Sunday Street Acoustics Series presents Brooks Williams and Bo Coop Blue. Right here at Stony Brook University at the University Cafe, 2 p.m. India Ari will be at the Paramount in Huntington Village, 8 p.m. James Maddock will be at the Turning Point in Piermont, 4 p.m. Brad Cole's Acoustic Circus will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Manhattan, Stage 1, 7 p.m. Joseph W. Wu Jr. in concert at the Congregational Church of Patchogue in Patchogue, 2 p.m. Steve Mall will be at the Gray Horse Tavern in Bayport, 1 p.m. Patent Pending CD Release Show will be at 89 North in Patchogue. Arturo Sandoval will be at the Blue Note Manhattan, 2 shows, 8 and 10:30. Your concert billboard for Monday, November 4th. Carl Stone will be at Roulette in Brooklyn, 8 p.m. Joanne Burkeen and Ravi Coltrane Duo will be at the Blue Note for 2 shows, 8 and 10:30, Manhattan. Scuba Tiger with Bud Spadola will be at the Velvet Lounge in Isatawket, 9 p.m. On your concert billboard for Tuesday, November 5th, Tennis, Night Sweats, On and On will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 1, 7 p.m. The Hollows, The Memphis, and more will be at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn, 8 p.m. Looking ahead on your concert billboard for Thursday, November 7th, Stony Brooklyn presents Pattern is Movement, 8 p.m. at the University Cafe.
If you like Concert Billboard and find it to be a useful feature, just remember, without WUSB, there is no Concert Billboard. And without your money, there could well be no WUSB. So please give during this radiothon. WUSB.FM/pledge or call 1-888-632-9872. Toll free.
It's 6:02 p.m., time for Off the Wall. Okay, there's our theme right there. This is Off the Wall. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. My name is Finn, sitting in for, well, attempting to sit in for Emmanuel. And Kyle is with me. Kyle, how are you?
I'm well.
Very good. Great to be doing the show with you. Usually when we are on the air in this time slot, it's one or the other of us with Emmanuel, and now we're together. So, you know, it's like we're both, you know, I'm the secondary sidekick, and you're the main sidekick, and so I don't know what that adds up to. The swift kick or something.
I like that, yeah. And it's a we're hosting two guests make a host.
That's or something like that.
I think that's how it goes.
Okay, very good, very good. For those of you out there, it is there's two things happening today of utmost importance. It's Election Day. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. Don't complain if you don't. Well, you can still complain, you know. But the other thing that's happening today is we are in the midst of Radiothon right here at WUSB. And you can give us a call and one of us will sprint out of the room to answer the phone and take your pledge. And you can make that pledge by calling 631-632-6901. 631-632-6901. You can make a pledge right here in support of Off the Wall and WUSB. Stony Brook, now, so where is Emmanuel today, Kyle?
He's actually taking the day off. He's feeling a little under the weather. I think he caught a little bit of a cold with the weather changing and stuff. So he asked if I'd run in and help you out and do a show here for an hour. So.
And that's very nice. But it's not very nice that he's ill.
No.
But he's I thought voting might have put him under the weather. But
No, I don't think so. I don't think the voting. He is following everything, though, and is aware that everybody's there are crazy voters out there speeding and driving through intersections, trying to get to the polling places to do their civic duty.
And that's why you guys should leave now to go and vote, and so you don't you're not one of those people rushed, you know?
Yeah, you want to actually look at some of the candidates while you're actually. I don't know how you guys do it here in New York. Is the ka-chunk the mechanical?
No,
or?
It's not the ka-chunk. It's
all optical now.
Yeah. I actually find it more antiquated than the ka-chunk. I mean, I understand the point of it, that way you have the paper trail for every vote and the little card goes with it, et cetera. But
right.
I don't see why the card can't go with the ka-chunk, too, myself.
Yeah, you could ka-chunk the tag board card, whatever it is.
And I saw nothing but when I voted early this morning in Astoria, I saw nothing but, and this has been going on for a few years now like this, nothing but some confused people.
Operating it?
Well, operating it as well as the voters, you know.
Oh,
wow. The voters themselves.
It's not something, straightforward.
Yeah, something about the layout of the ballot this year, at least where I was.
Interesting.
I mean, you had to really look to read it properly, even though you may have known in advance who you were going to vote for.
Wow.
And, it was, you know, I know if I had to concentrate, it's not like I'm some kind of a genius, Kyle, you know, but if I had to concentrate, I know plenty of other people had to concentrate and try to figure it out. So, and then some of the workers. And, you know, I support, you know, people who go and do this type of work. That's a wonderful civic duty. Mm-hmm. I've done it quite a few times in the past myself.
Yep.
And but it's you know, they had to invalidate one of the sheets that they pull off, you know. Someone, you know, made a mistake and said this is no good or whatever the case is. And so therefore, you know, I was, for example, voter 55, but I got ballot 56. Because one of the ballots before me was destroyed, so they didn't count that one. So every single time someone came up for the paperwork, it was they had to remind themselves to just add one.
Oh, man. So they actually had to change the serialization of the ballots.
Exactly correct.
Oh, my gosh.
So I was voter 55, but I got ballot 56.
Now, did you actually get to see them invalidate the ballot? Like, what did they do? Do they burn it or crumple it up? Or?
I think they just crumple it up.
Wow. All right. No big red stamp, just crumple. That's official.
That's right.
They throw it in the trash.
That's right. It was very, very, it was kind of antiquated, actually. You know, as they say, much more so than the old ka-chunks.
Wow.
And there's something I like about the ka-chunks. You go and you're in the curtain and, you know, you close the thing. And
right. See, I've never experienced that. In the Northwest, in my neighborhood when I was younger, in my elementary school, it was always these big injection molded, big plastic bins, and you'd have the booths. And I don't think they even did – well, they might have done the little punch pin dimple Chad thing.
Right.
But then it very quickly became optical scan. And for my entire voting life, it's been optical scan. So I'm very familiar with that. Machines, they look different in all kinds of different contexts, but right. I've never experienced this mechanical machine. And I saw pictures. E showed me some really neat pictures of the old ones that that they did, I think, for the magazine. They got some images of it, and they're really impressive, huge
things, and also comparatively very efficient, because they were, everything was on a single line, you know, you could go right across, whereas where I was, you know, like mayoral candidates for New York City, they were all kind of bunched together, and you couldn't tell where the party name was and the candidate's name was this above or below, you know?
The spacing and stuff.
Exactly. It was, I could see how people could be extremely easily confused.
Where with these old machines, it's a big one, very straightforward grid.
Exactly. And easy to read and, laid out beautifully. And, you know, now, hey, look, it's progress, right?
Yeah, in one way or another.
In one way or another. So I don't know. So did you vote from afar?
I believe I got my ballot. I actually abstained this election, to be fully honest.
Okay.
I'm not even really sure what we were voting for. I didn't get any of my materials, and I'm really behind on all of my mail. So
okay.
This is the first election I've missed in a really long time. I've been voting ever since I turned 18, because when I was 18, that was right around the 04 election. Let's see. Now, I could not vote when Bush was first elected, and then 4 years later, I was just too young to vote in the 2000 election. And then in 2004, I believe I started voting really deliberately.
Got it. It's last election cycle, I believe, in Washington State,
mm-hmm.
Which is where you're from. That's when the marijuana legislation got passed.
That's very true. Yeah, actually, I'm excited to see how that's progressing, because this year was the implementation year, where the liquor board comes up with their criteria for how they're actually going to dispense and distribute recreational pot. And it's exciting, actually. December 1st, maybe, they will begin to sell government cannabis in Washington State. And that's really exciting. I'm really looking forward to that.
And where are they selling it in liquor stores? Is that the plan?
I think that's it. Yeah, basically, you'll be able to go into a liquor store and in Washington, I will clarify, they've only recently started to allow other places like grocery stores to sell liquor. In for the longest time, my entire life, it had always been that you go to a liquor store to get liquor. You can get beer and wine at a grocery store, but recently, actually, around the same year.